this text from the book of Kings is a very remarkable sort of a prophetic reflection. Sennacherib, Shalmaneser, rather, comes down and takes over the whole northern kingdom. And then, in keeping with their policy, they make sure that land stays under their control. They take all the leaders and exile them up into their own land. And then they take people who are foreigners and put them back into this land. Now, those foreigners are not very popular with the local people, right? And so they depend on Assyria for protection. So they'll be very obedient. And it's a heartless policy. But the text goes on to say, this came about because the children of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. In other words, when the Lord saves us, helps us, you see, in many ways, you know, as Chesterton used to say, America, not anymore. America is a nation with the soul of a church, because it was so devout, you know, and looked upon coming to this land and finding this enormous land with all these enormous resources and room and space for everybody. See, they looked upon that as being a great gift from God. And they spoke often of being like a new Israel, being in there, you know, and they were taken care of. Hasn't been that way for a long time. And we should pray hard for this nation. Our godlessness, our greed, and mostly our abortion and all that's connected with it. Well, how can I say all that when the Lord says, stop judging, that you may not be judged? Well, there's a judgment of condemnation, and there's a judgment of assessment. You don't have to, you can just walk out the door and look and see, or turn on your television, I hope you don't, but, and look what you see. Look what you know, this is corruption. And we have to pray and act. Many people will be going today to pray over the abortion clinic. I seem to have all the doctor's appointments on Monday. I never get over there. But why? To witness to God's will, which is a will for mercy and for life. And to save children and save women from carrying on their conscience for the rest of their life, their abortion. And so it's a work of mercy. What does it mean then not to judge? It's a condemnation. And this, our Lord is thinking principally, what do we do among ourselves? You know, how do we condemn interiorly one another? Now, Lord is saying, or maybe speak it out. Now, Lord says, you better be careful. Because if you're going to be that relentless against your brother and your sister, I'll be that relentless against you. And surely none of us want that. So it's just good business to forgive and to help and not condemn, you see? Now that doesn't mean that we think Dr. Carhart's a living doll, you know? We pray for his salvation, but what he's doing now is murder. And that's not a judgment of condemnation, it's just a judgment of assessment. And we'd love to see him get out of it, repent for it, and be on the road to eternal life for his sake and for the example it would be. I don't remember, what was the name of that British doctor, famous one, who had committed already 1,000 or 2,000 abortions. And he saw...
Nathanson,
that's the one, yeah. And then he saw this video of an abortion, or, you know, whatever it was, and it just changed him. That would be great, wouldn't it? But we bear witness, this is wrong. To save people. And so, but we have to make sure, as far as we can, that there's no wooden beams in our own eyes. In other words, what are we doing that's not fostering life? Are we criticizing? Are we selfish? Are we not caring for the poor? In other words, once we set ourselves on a course like this, we have to shoot for sanctity. There's nothing left. We have to die to self and live totally for God. We just can't go till everybody else is shape up. And that's a great privilege, because our Lord wouldn't inspire us with step one if he weren't able and willing and wanting to help us with step two. To love him. A la folie. To love him. And obey him. And give our lives to him. And so, that's the call. As the old moral theologians would say, we must do this one and we must not omit that one. And so, we have to try to be holy. Well, by ourselves, we can't do that. But do you know that a divine person lives in you for only that reason? To transform you, to bind you to the Father in such an act of love that you're enthralled with his will. That's who lives in us.